Melissa in the Morning talks with career strategist and workplace expert Julie Bauke. It's Julie on the Job. Now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
So you know what's really interesting about Julie Bauke? I'm beginning to believe more and more that we share the same brain. Because yesterday, I'm so serious, Julie. This is crazy that you brought this topic up. I was saying to my husband yesterday, we're having lunch, and he said, how are you feeling? You know, because I get the Sunday scaries. I love my job, but I get the Sunday scaries because I then have to go back to sleeping on a wackadoodle schedule. I know that for the week, I'm not really going to see my husband. So I get the Sunday scaries real bad. And he said, how are you feeling today? As in Monday. I said, I got to be honest. I feel fine. I feel great. I feel like I'm okay to shower and blow dry my hair for the week. I'm okay to go to bed early. And I did. I woke up, didn't have my energy drink. And he said, what do you think makes the difference? I said, I think having a 3-day weekend. Now, what's interesting is I said to him, do I think 4-day work weeks will always work for everyone? Probably not. But it is interesting when you talk about like school, for example. Many public school districts, including my son's here in Connecticut, they have the teachers do at least once, if not twice a month, Professional Development Day. And I have insight to tell me that Professional Development Day for a lot of teachers, some of it is actually development. The other is like self-care and mental health awareness and taking care of themselves. So the kids get a half day of school. So the teachers get like a little bit of a break. So what I'm getting at is there are some sectors where we're seeing, you know, that the typical 9 to 5, 5 days a week is just not working anymore. I would love a 4-day work week like once a month. That's what I would
love. You know,
love.
Think about how, at the risk of being obvious here, a 3-day weekend is 50% more weekend. That's a lot more weekend for you to relax, for you to take care of the life stuff that just can't get done between 8 and 5, especially with 2 working adults, which is what almost everybody is right now because of the cost of living. And so, you know, are you... If you have a grind, grind, grind culture at your organization, are you getting the best out of your people? No, you aren't. And I think we keep forgetting. We keep, you know, people are machines. They just need to be committed. They just need to. And this whole thing that, you know, if you aren't the CEO of Crunch Fitness was interviewed recently. I don't know if he owns the company or if he's just the CEO, but he said, work-life balance, blah. If you're committed, then you should be grinding constantly. Like, really, dude? You know, there are certain people who do that, and maybe that works for them. But I think we've proven for decades that that leads to a lot of
burnout,
dissatisfaction, troubles,
right,
relationship issues, burnout, health issues. And I love that coming out of COVID, I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but there are companies around the world that are saying, let's try something. So this article that I sent you was about a company called Exos. It's a corporate wellness company. Okay, so if you're a corporate wellness company, first of all, you darn well better be walking your talk.
Right, so, right. You can't say, right, you know wellness if you're not practicing it. Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I used to work for a company that helped companies figure out how to do effective layoffs, and they did a horrible job of it themselves.
Eesh.
So we all get that. We all see that. But they said, all right, in May of 23, they said, we're going to do a 6-month pilot. And this is what I love about, you can say, we're going to try it. Just because you do it for 1 day, 3 months, 6 months, doesn't mean it's forever. And so you could make very clear, hey, we're going to try this. And they said, they have 3,000 employees. So they said, we're going to do something called You Do You Fridays. And it was an attempt to give people more agency, more flexibility about how they get work done. Then they realized, and this is, you know, I can hear people saying, that won't work here. They realized that their corporate people could do that. But they had a lot of people in, you know, out with clients, out with companies, out and about that couldn't do that. And so they changed it to a You Do You Day. So they gave, and this is critical, they gave their managers, their leaders, the flexibility to try things that would work for their teams, given what their obligations are to their clients. I think this is what, when we say 4-day work weeks, people shudder because they think, the organization's a ghost town one day a week. No, it doesn't have to be the same day off for everybody, because you still have to get work covered. And you are, so what you're doing is you're giving people the option to try things and see what works for them. And they did adopt it. And they said, this works for us. And, but they also gave room for kind of adjusting and, you know, during that time to see what actually works. And so you do have to have a spirit of curiosity. You have to have a spirit of open-mindedness, flexibility. You also have to trust your people to get the work done. And, right? And I promise you that if you start giving your people the flexibility to try new things, to give their input, and to maybe have more of the work-life harmony they're seeking, they will make it work. Because so, you're giving them the option to have something they want.
So we have Julie Bauke here for a few more minutes, our career strategist, and we're talking about four-day work weeks. In fact, there was an article that Julie sent me. I will put the link with her podcast when we put it on WICC600.com. But it looks at this wellness company. It's called Exos. And back in May of last year, they launched a six-month, four-day work week pilot program, which, again, they have about 3,000 employees. So it's no small task. But they decided to keep it permanently. And the article really outlines a lot of benefits, including more productivity, mental and physical health improving, and so much more. So I wanted to ask you, Julie, for your insight on this. We've heard that having a four-day work week, for example, huge benefits, really, really helpful. Very similar to when a lot of companies started to do remote or hybrid working conditions for, depending on the industry, for some people. But my question to you is, part of this working, it sounds like, comes down to trusting the people you hired. So could we talk, I guess, a little bit more about that? And because I think that's really the core of this, is not so much the model. Because like you said, there are going to be people who are like, hey, like I look at myself, I was just saying to my intern, I love a 4-day work week. It'll never happen. We have to have news 5 days a week. But there are things that I felt my company did such an amazing job with trying to strike that work-life balance, because it comes down to trusting your people. That's something I think every company needs to figure out adopting.
Yeah, and I think one of the really important points in this article that we didn't get to was this: they partnered with Wharton Business School, Adam Grant, who's one of the absolute gurus of workforce data, to do this pilot and to measure all the stuff that leaders care about. And they found that 91% said they were more productive with a flexible day compared to 67% without it, and 19, this skips what you said at the beginning, just 19% expressed dreading work compared to 41% dreaded work before the pilot. So productivity, ding, 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 your people are more energized, more focused, and more productive, and that ought to wake you up if you're a leader. And so, yeah, you have to get your head out of the I'm the smartest one because I have the biggest title and the nicest office and I'm at the top of the org chart. Just because all that, I must be the smartest and the rest of you don't know what you're doing. And that there is unfortunately still that style of leadership is in play at many places. But you have to start bringing your people in and getting their solutions. It doesn't mean you have to adapt or adopt all of them. Mm. But you do have to start a conversation. And if you want to start a pilot, start it with your most trusted group where you think you have a really stellar leader of that group and give it to them to role model for the rest of the organization. So you don't have to like broad sweeping starting next Monday. You know, everybody gets a day to do what they want. You have to actually believe that this is a great solution and something that you guys could, and you have to be curious and focused on finding a way to improve your workplace. Mm. You know, a lot of leaders aren't. There's still that, I'll tell you what to do and where to do it and where to show up. There's still that style of leadership at way too many companies. And yes, it's a boomer thing for the most part. And that's what I think is why a lot of organizations get stalled. I do think we'll see more of this as we move on, because boomers will retire and younger people tend to see work differently.
Mm. Yeah, I think, and the other thing too, Julie, which was sort of a thing I was thinking about in the break, is, again, if a model of 4-day work weeks, if that's not doable for certain industries, do you have recommendations for companies, even if it's, you know, mom and pop shop? It could be as small as, you know, having 2 employees to having 2,000 employees. But do you have other solutions that you've seen be successful in different companies to, again, strike more of that work-life balance for people?
Maybe you start with, so some organizations, maybe you still do a 40-hour week, but you do it 4 days a week. So maybe it's 4-10. So you're still getting that 40 hours, but your people are more energized. Maybe it's just more PTO and flexibility in how you use it. We're hearing a lot of companies are getting really like, well, why do you need to be off? And they're getting PTO, but they're making you feel guilty about using it. And so at some level, it just has to be a culture change, and you have to accept that your people, the vast majority, want to do a good job. And it's your responsibility as leaders to facilitate that, not just by what you think works, but you have to get everybody's input. And it starts there, because your people who actually do the work actually have the best ideas, because they're the ones in the trenches every day. I mean, that's why that show Undercover Boss is so popular.
That's a really good point. Yeah, because I think that things like that, having like a reality show that really highlights, for example, you know, a lot of the times I will say, I mean, I've watched that show, and like there's like the Bar Rescue. There's all kinds of shows like that where it does come down to management. A lot of times it comes down to management, which is really interesting. Yeah. But like when you were talking in the very beginning of this, Julie, that is what stood out to me, was when you come up with a concept or a pilot program or whatever it is, and the first thing you have to do is empower the people you hired. You actually give up a sense of control, and you trust the managers or the department heads or whatever. And then you also have to trust the people they're in charge of, so your employees. And that is something that, even if you have the best ideas in the world, if you don't have that trust basis, I don't think you could have a successful rollout of a program or anything like that. I just don't think it's possible.
If you're a leader and you look in a mirror and you say, all my people, I mean, if you say to yourself, all my people are idiots, you better look in the mirror, because that's a reflection of the leadership. Anyway, I wanted to say before we ended, our career launch pad for youngins is up and live. So you go to thebaukegroup.com, and then the tab is Career Happiness Coaching, and then under that, Group Coaching. So we're starting Career Launchpad. It starts in July. It's for, generally, we're saying 19 to 25-year-olds who are trying to figure out how to get a great toehold in the market and how to do the right thing so that they are at the top of the pile.
That's awesome.
To be interviewed, we're offering a virtual, and of course, you know, we're doing one here in Cincinnati live, but we're offering a virtual program. So check it out if you want to. If you think you or someone you know could benefit, please send the link along, because the professionals are going to teach them, you know, how to be successful in this workplace. So check it out, one of many new programs that we'll be offering in the coming months.
I think that's so exciting. And again, I will put the link with this podcast, but Bauke is spelled B-A-U-K-E if you're looking for it, The Bauke Group, before we post it. And just want to make sure people know there's an E at the end of Bauke. But Julie, always appreciate our chats, and thank you so much for giving us also the insight into programs that your team is providing for so many people, including here in Connecticut. We really appreciate it.
Take care.
All right.
Talk Julie. Next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'll be here. And I know you will be too. Julie Bauke, our career strategist on WACC.